My name is Rutzel Pat, and I am grateful to Pastor John and to your session for inviting me to be here today to share God's Word with you. As I have no announcements to make to the congregation, let us prepare our hearts for the worship of our Lord. God is the light of the world, and he sent his Son, Jesus, to lead the world out of darkness into that light. If we follow that light, we must follow a power higher than the law. Come then, let us seek that light, that we may bring it to bear on the problems of our world. Our opening hymn is number 13, O Worship the King. Was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified dead and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture lesson for today comes from James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Let us listen to his word. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at itself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of God and the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 292, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you.
who are in need of not just physical healing, but also of spiritual wholeness. And may this intercession that we have for them not just be for this time of worship. Let us remember them as we go through this week. Now let us enter into this time of prayer.
What should be my first priority in my Christian life? Well, Jesus clearly answered that question in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And that's the basis for today's special music. Sing ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Lord, we offer our gifts in gratitude for the love of Christ. Bless both the gifts and the givers, and grant that both may be used effectively in serving you. Amen. Our second scripture lesson for today comes from Mark chapter 7. Verses 1 through 8, 14, 15, and 21 through 23. Let's listen to God's word. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. And it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have to let go of the commands of God. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God remains forever. I know it was many, many years ago that my wife Betty and I went down to Pittsburgh to see a movie that was made from a Broadway play. This was like 1970. This was when you used to get dressed up to go downtown Pittsburgh to see a movie. This movie was about life in a Jewish community called Anatevka, which was in Imperial Russia in the early 1900s. The main character of this movie was a man called Tevye, and he was a milkman. And as he said, he was just trying to scratch out a simple living for himself and his family. All the people in this Jewish community were trying desperately to hold on to their traditions while the world around them was changing. And this was a musical, so Tevye sang an opening song. I cannot sing, so I will not sing it. But he rhetorically asked the question. He says, how do we keep our balance? Meaning our balance in life. And he says, I tell you one word, tradition. He says, because of our tradition, we have kept our balance for many, many years. He says, and we have traditions for everything. How to eat, how to sleep, how to wear clothes, how to work. And then he asks a rhetorical question. He says, you may ask, how did these traditions get started? Well, I'll tell you. I don't know. But because of our traditions, he goes on to say, each one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do. And in this opening scene closes with him saying, traditions, traditions. Without our traditions, our lives would be as shaky as was a fiddler on the roof. And that was the name of the movie and the name of the Broadway play. Traditions. We have our traditions too, don't we? I mean, just look at how we celebrate our holidays. Seems like in a few days, we'll be celebrating Labor Day. And usually that's the day when we celebrate coming of the end of summer, and we have that Labor Day picnic where we gather together. We hold tightly on to our traditions, because as some say, traditions contribute to a sense of comfort, a sense of belonging. They bridge the gap between generations, and they give us a sense of identity. As Tevye said, because of our traditions, each one of us knows who he is. But there's the opposite side of the coin. Some others conclude that traditions can be harmful, especially if a tradition is handed down from generation to generation. Might be based upon a falsehood or something that is no longer appropriate, and therefore it can be hurtful, it can be harmful, or maybe even just plain foolish. There's a story of a newlywed couple. The new wife, in wanting to please her husband, prepares one of his favorite meals. And she was preparing a baked ham for him, and he sat there in the kitchen watching her. And she got the ham off, she cut the end of the ham off, and she threw it away. Now he was disturbed by this, and they wanted to know, you know, what she was doing, why she had done such a thing. And she said, well, I don't know, that's how I was taught, let me call my mother. And she in turn called her mother, who then gave the answer. It turned out that great-great-grandmother of this girl had a pan that was too short. And so that every time she made a ham, she had to cut the end of it off. And this tradition prevailed for many years. And just another thought about traditions. They could be a cause of great controversy, disputes and disagreements, especially when they clash with other views. In our reading today, we see a prime example of this. The Pharisees and the scribes are in conflict with the ministry of Jesus because of Jewish traditions. And this wasn't the first time that such a conflict came up. But here the Pharisees are questioning Jesus about the way in which his disciples were eating their food. They didn't follow the traditions of the elders. They didn't perform the elaborate ceremony of washing their hands. Now, just to be clear, this washing had nothing to do with hygiene. Yes, it did help, but had everything to do with ceremonial cleanness. And there was a complete ritual to be followed. I mean, first the water used for washing the hands had to come from a special jar so that the water itself was clean. And then the hands were held with the fingers pointing up, and with as much water that would fit in an eggshell, it would then pour water over the fingers and let it run down their fingers, the palms, to their wrists, do it to both hands. And then when both hands were wet, they would take the fist of one hand and rub it into the palm of the other, and vice versa. And then finally, with the fingers pointing down, they would pour water on their wrists and let water run off their hands and off their fingers. When they had done this, now the hands were considered clean in the sight of God. This was Jewish tradition. This was Jewish ritual. And this ceremony to the Jewish people was part of their religion. And so the logic of the ceremony was this. If you touched food that you were about to eat with unclean hands, the food became unclean. And then if you ate unclean food, you became unclean. That was the logic of this ritual. And if you didn't follow the tradition of ceremonial hand washing, you defiled yourself, and consequently, you sinned against God. Now, upon hearing the accusations that the Pharisees had, that his disciples had sinned against God, Jesus began to correct his misconception of traditional law by stating that nothing that goes into a person can defile him or her. Only the person can be defiled. And what makes a person defiled, as Jesus says, is his or her own actions. The actions which proceed from the heart of the person. Uncleanness has nothing to do with what one ingests, but has all to do with what comes from the person's heart. So this legalism that the Pharisees and the scribes were so concerned about was all about outward appearance, outward actions. And these rules, these traditions, were a wall that separated Jews from Gentiles. And Jesus came and was breaking down these walls, showing that true holiness was a matter of the heart. You see, to the Pharisees, religion was ritual. It was all about obeying certain rules and regulations. But to Jesus, religion was service. It was love of God and love of man. We're reminded of the time when Jesus was asked about which is the greatest commandment of the law, and he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second was like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, ministry is service, and service comes through our love of God and our fellow man. Many years ago, I read a book written by William Easom. He was talking about how church growth, both physical growth and also spiritual growth, can be stifled by church traditions and rituals. The name of the book is kind of interesting. It's called Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burgers. It's about how we sometimes hold on to things as sacred within our churches, and therefore we miss the opportunity to do the ministry that we are being called to do. And this is so easy for us to do because traditions, as we said, are comfortable to us. they're warm and fuzzy, and we like warm and fuzzy things, don't we? Six words that can really hurt in some cases. We've always done it this way. And so sometimes we hold on to sacred things. Sometimes we hold on to these things that we were meant to let go of. Last month, I don't know what you did here, but at our church, we celebrated Christmas in July. We even sang Christmas carols at our time of worship last month. So I'm going to give you a Christmas story that leads into an Easter story. So if you've never heard the story of the fourth wise man, let me tell it to you. The fourth wise man is a story written by Henry Van Dyke in 1895. This wise man, his name was Artaban, and he was a magi, and he lived in Persia. And he also knew about the star that would point to the Savior. And so in preparation of this, he sold all of his possessions, and he bought three precious gems to give to the king. A sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. Christ. Now he was to meet the other three wise men at a predefined place and time and travel and follow the star. But time was short and they could leave if he wasn't there at the appointed time. Now while he was on his way to meet the other fellow travelers, he saw a figure on the ground before him in the road. It was a traveler who was stricken with fever. If he stayed, he knew that he would possibly miss his friends. But he did stay and he helped the gentleman back to his feet. And leaving all that he had to the gentleman in regard to food, Artaban continued on with his journey to meet the others at the agreed upon place. But the other three had left now, and he was alone. And so he needed his own provisions. He needed camels and so forth to go across the desert. And so he had to sell the sapphire to get the provisions for his journey. And he was sad because the king would never have his gem. So Artaban journeyed on, and in due time he came to Bethlehem. But again, he was too late. Joseph and Mary and the baby had gone. They had fled to Egypt to escape Herod and his command that all male children 2 years of age younger should be slain. Artaban was staying in a house where there was such a little child, and when the soldiers came to the door, Artaban stood in the doorway, the ruby in his hand, and he bribed the captain not to enter. The child was saved, the mother was overjoyed, but the gem was gone, the ruby was gone, and Artaban was sad because the king would never have his ruby. For years, Artaban wandered in vain looking for the king for more than 30 years. He then came to Jerusalem, and there was a crucifixion on that day. And Artaban heard of the Jesus who was being crucified. He sounded wondrous like the king that he had been searching for all those years. And so Artaban hurried towards Calvary. Maybe his pearl, the loveliest in all the world, could buy the life of the king. But down the street came a girl fleeing from a band of soldiers, crying out, "My father is in debt, and they're taking me to sell me as a slave to pay the debt. Save me," she cried. Artaban hesitated, and sadly he took out the pearl. He gave it to the soldiers and bought the girl's freedom. All of a sudden the skies became dark, and there was an earthquake and a heavy pile of shaking from the roof above and struck Artaban on his head, and he fell to the ground. Half conscious, the girl pillowed his head on her lap, and suddenly his lips began to move. "Not so, my lord, for when did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink, or when did I see you a stranger and took you in, or needed clothing and clothed you? When did I see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" 33 years I have looked for thee, but I've never seen thy face, nor ministered to thee my pain. And then a whisper from very far away, a voice came, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as thou hast done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, thou hast done it unto me. And Reuben smiled in death, because he knew that the king had received his gifts. As biblical scholar William Barclay so aptly puts it, he says the best way to worship God is to help men. And to do that, we sometimes have to let go of the things we hold on to so dearly. Perhaps our traditions, perhaps our rituals, perhaps even our sacred things which we have saved up to be used only for a special occasion. For you see, when our focus and dedication are to these items, these rituals, these traditions, then our focus is off of our Lord, and consequently, it's off of our service to others. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as thou hast done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, thou hast done it unto me. Amen. Our hymn is number 456. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Be with you now.